Blog Talk Radio. Are you giving honor to him today? the least we can do is just know who he is, that there is no one like him. There is no other God but one. We call him Jehovah. And he is awesome and mighty. So we are going to have New Testament fighting. And if time permits, we will go back and go into our Psalm and Proverbs. Sunday is going to be Ecclesiastes Sunday. So Sunday we will be in Ecclesiastes. The whole service, the whole show will be an Ecclesiastes show. Because there's a time for everything. Hallelujah. And so I'm excited about Sunday's show. So please join me for Old Testament Sunday. It's going to be good. That's all I can say. It is going to be good. So let's get started in our word this morning. Thanking God in advance for his grace and his mercy and for his great. And the word of God coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let me make sure I have all that I need. We started on chapter 7 yesterday, where we talked about divorce and husbands and wives and loving God and keeping the commandment of God. And, you know, as Paul was telling us about how they should treat their wives, that there should not be divorce within the family, you know. And so Paul gave a big overview. And so what God put in my heart actually just now is to just go back, and we're going to go in to chapter 7, and we're going to read the whole thing to go back and get it so that it's all within context. Because sometimes we can start a word, and it just seems off because it's not in the full context of the word because we read the word the other day or something. So God is just putting in my spirit, just read the whole thing. And so, family, that's what we're going to do. We're going to 1 Corinthians. Join me in chapter 7. And we'll be in chapter 7. And we will be in chapter 8. So we will be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 7 through chapter 8. God permitting, we will be also in chapter 9. So our goal is to read chapter 7, 8, and 9 of 1 Corinthians this morning so that we get it all in context. And I am coming out of the New King James Version so that it makes sense. So please get your Bibles because this is Bible study. And I will come back with some of the life lessons from the Word, but we'll do life lessons after the Word this morning unless God gives us some type of commentary. And so the Word is coming out again of chapter 7, 1 Corinthians. And it's Paul. And Paul is to us about marriage, you know, marriage vows, live as called. To the unmarried widows, which is I'm one of those folks, be sensitive to the conscience, you know, a pattern of self-denial. You know, so there's a lot going on in these three chapters that Paul is speaking for Paul. But a lot of what he's saying is what we need to listen to. You know, I know I'm just being honest. There is a lot of stuff where I do not agree with Paul. I just don't. But I understand that this is a divine word. And as a divine word, I got to get over me. And honestly, in my sanctified self, I was like, that's just his opinion. You know, God could say that. I could say whatever I want to, write whatever I want to, and say that God told me that. But God didn't have nothing to do with it, just like God had to come out of the whirlwind and tell a few things to Job and Israel. Who's to say that what Paul is saying is right? Because Paul was a Pharisee, and some of this might just be his opinion. That is what I was saying. So I'm just saying what I said. I'm not telling anybody not to agree with what Paul said, because what Paul says is divinely inspired. And we must remember that. Whether we agree to disagree, whether we like what he says or don't, again, divinely organized and divinely appointed to him as apostle of Jesus Christ. So let's get a marriage, which makes a lot of sense. It is good. It says, now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, because he's answering. This epistle is a reply to the church, to the Corinthian church, who was in an uproar because they had sin going on up in the church. All kind of mess. A son having sex with his daddy's wife. All kind of nastiness. And Paul is addressing the nastiness that's going on within the Corinthian church. And it says this: it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Because Paul is older. I understand that. I am too. You know, but it's a choice. Celibacy is a choice that you make as a man or woman of God, to wait on God or not to have anything, not to be involved with anyone. That is a choice that we make. So it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And if it is not your husband, it is good for a woman not to touch a man. Just call it like it is. Celibacy is a choice. Paul made that choice. And it goes on to say, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife. Not side chick, not girlfriend, but wife. And let each woman have her own husband. Not her boo, not her boo-boo, not her man, not her baby daddy, but her husband. Okay? That's just what God's putting in my spirit. And it says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, and this is where folks get a little off kilter, because you hear that husband's got authority over their wife's body, but it also says, come on now, likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. I wish that all men were even as I myself, which is older. But each one has his own gift from God. One is his manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. But it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Again, choices. Keep your marriage vow. And I believe that vow. From the day I got married until the day my husband left this earth, that it is death that parts relationship. I am that way. I believe in marriage. I love marriage because I know it comes from God. And that it is important that a man and woman come together as one in marriage. Marriage is from God. And I love the way that Paul says it in his word. Now, to the married, I command you, not I, but the Lord. And that is where it comes in. You know, so many times, because I'm a firm believer, that I was like, wait a minute, now hold on, that is Paul's opinion. That did not come from God. But then Paul made sure that when he wrote this epistle and this letter, that he made sure that he specify. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. But how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Oh, how do you know, O husband, whether you will save? And I believe in my heart that you have abusive husbands that will try to use this passage to keep their wives in check. But understand, God did not want women being terrorized and beat up and abused in marriage. Marriage is a loving relationship for a husband and a wife. It is not one for a husband to beat the tar out of his wife because he is the boss. That's not a God. And as we continue, live as you are called. And he says, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But see, the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave, do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. But he who is called in the Lord while a slave is a Lord's freeman. Likewise, he was called while free is Christ's slave. You were brought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Y'all caught that. And I'm talking to those folks that have allowed everything and anything to come into the pulpits of Christ, to come into these churches. They're preaching everything but Jesus Christ. They're preaching everything but the love of God. And we got to change how we are doing things. You can't let folks come into your pulpit. You can't speak stuff that doesn't have anything to do with God. Our job is salvation. That's what we are supposed to be giving a word for God, not some man, not some woman, but for God. It is not about us. It is all about him and souls being saved and led to Christ. And this is what it says. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. The price we were bought at was the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God. Brother, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Hallelujah. I thank God. And this is a word for women like me, the unmarried and the widows. I have been a widow for almost 12 years, and I'm grateful time I have. God is good. Had my husband lived, we would have been married for 44 years. Years. Wow. 44 years, that's a long time. But I'm grateful for the 32 that I had. And including the time we knew each other, this would have been our 50th year anniversary. Our year of Jubilee. Wow. By God. And this is what the Word of God says, not concerning virgins. I have no commandments from the Lord. Yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that it is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loose. Are you loose from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. Paul again talking celibacy. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord. Come on now. And he may, that he may please, how he may please the Lord. I'm going to read that again because it is true. When you don't have that responsibility of husband and wife, you can give more of your time to God. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And I say how wife may please their husband. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. There it is. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord without distraction. That's it. Serving the Lord without distraction. But if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let them marry. That's it. Get married. Nevertheless, he will stand steadfast in the Lord, having no necessity, but has power over his own will and has no and is so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. And no, he said, according to my judgment. And I think I also have the Spirit of God trying to get us our attention. And this is also where the title of our lesson comes from this morning. Be sensitive to conscience. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, for those that are just joining us on this Moving Forward experience. And again, you are listening to Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. This is Bible study. And we are coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year, New King James Version. And understand, in this word, I give kudos to Dr. Stanley, the life lessons, the life questions, the life answers, what the Bible says. All these are tools to help us understand the Bible. And I, again, my disclaimer for the day, I am not paid by In Touch Ministries, or I'm not paid to advertise for ChristianBooks.com, but I do. This Bible is one of the best Bibles I have ever had when it comes to understanding the word, getting the Bible read from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. This is a great 1 year Bible. If you are wanting to meditate on the word every day, this is a fantastic Bible to have, and you should add it to your biblical arsenal. I say it, I believe it, that is my lament. Get this Bible. And it will help you to get through the word in 1 year. That is the goal of this show. That is what my assignment is to read the word of God in one ear and to share it with the world. And that's what I'm doing. So I'm thanking God for this awesome word. And the next thing is Christian Bibles, ChristianBooks.com, a great location to get Bibles. And if I'm not mistaken, they are still having their Bible sale right now. You can buy Bibles for less than $10. So if you need a Bible, ChristianBooks.com, and I know many go to Amazon, but I am just a firm believer that we should support each other. So anyway, that's my disclaimer. That's my announcement. For those that are going to be in the area I live in, which is in Springfield, Illinois, my actual ministry, which is W Faith Women's Ministry, Table of Life Ministry, will be having our 10th annual Women's Conference on September the 10th. Isn't that cool? 10th on the 10th. I should have thought of that as a title, but that was not what God gave me. God gave me keeping it 100, stepping up and stepping out. Because understand, 99 won't do for God. So if you are in the area, come join us, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time at Table of Life Ministries, 2600 Street, Springfield, Illinois, for W Faith Ministries, Table of Life Ministries Women's Conference, our 10th annual conference on September the 10th. So I'm throwing it out there. Yes, it is self-promotion, but it is awesome, and we have had so many women saved that I can't do anything but just cry out, because that is my calling. It's women's ministry. And if there's any woman that needs just to talk to another woman, DM me on Twitter or message me on Facebook, and we can talk. Hallelujah, because that is my assignment. It's women's ministry. So that is what I do on my other job, which is for women's ministry. So thank you so much. Now let's get back into our word. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, be sensitive to context, not concerning things offered to idols, which we do not do. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. I love God. As Mary Mann said, I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? But I know that all of you love God, because I know he is the absolute in my life. If you can see me now, you know I'm smiling. One of these days, I will get on Facebook, but that is him. I'm not one of those folks that has to be seen. I like being in the background, so I thank God for that. And it goes on to say, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is no other God but one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm saying it again. There is no other God but one. Can y'all say that with me? There is no other God but one. And that is our title for this morning. And that is our lament for life to eternity. There is no other God but one. Paul says in verse 5, but even if there are so-called little g's, I'm calling them, called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we for him and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we live. I got to read that again. Starting again at verse number 4. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. But even if there are so-called gods, and I'm going to call them again, little G's, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many little G's and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. Thank you, God. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol. And their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God. But neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware lest somehow the liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. And I'm going to read that again. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. Whew. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge of eating in an idol temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. I'm talking about, oh, no, I don't drink. I don't smoke. But yet, somebody who does drink and smoke sees me out in the club with a cigarette hanging out of my mouth and a drink in front of me, yucking it up. What do you think that's going to do? That is going to cause them to stumble because they're going to say, wait a minute. I thought Minister Bridget was saved. I thought that she loved God. I didn't think she indulged in this kind of stuff. Oh, I forgot. And dropping it like it's hot. Oh, the dance floor. Oh, yeah. No. That's not a God. And that's what caused a brother to stumble. Especially if you don't preach this word and taught this word, and then you're out there doing everything you said that you don't do. We got to be straight. And I'll be honest, I'm a hot mess when it comes to certain things. But when it comes to God, I don't play. I don't play. My sister was laughing at me yesterday when she said, when your grandkids come, you cook. But you don't cook otherwise, and I don't. I don't eat that much. So I cook what I need and what I don't. Everybody else, we all have different schedules. So it's just easier for everybody to make what they want. You know, I don't see folks, but here or there. You know, I don't cook except for my grandkids because they can't cook for themselves. Well, they could. My oldest could, but my baby cannot. So I make food for him and for them. So understand, we all have our problems. We all are not perfect because there's only one God, and we are not him. And we are all working to get to the mark, to get to the gate, to get let in. As good and faithful servants, we're all working toward that. And as Paul says, a pattern of self-denial is the title. It says, am I not an apostle? Because, you know, I'm sure he was not, they didn't feel him, let me put it that way. The 11 didn't feel him, definitely wasn't feeling him, because they were being persecuted. They were being chased down. They were being murdered. They were being treated like dogs in the street. And Paul was one of the dog catchers. Come on now. So they weren't feeling him. But now, because of his transformation He was transformed. He was renewed. He was made into a different person by his encounter with Jesus. And we can be made into different people with our encounter with Jesus. Have you had your encounter yet? Have you had your Damascus Road encounter with Christ? It comes from salvation. Hallelujah. I thank God for my encounter. I thank God for being touched by an angel. I thank God almost dying and knowing that God is with me. And it says, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this. Do we have no right to eat and drink? Do we have no right to take along a believing wife, as do also the other apostles, the brothers of the Lord and Jesus, Jesus Peter? Only Barnabas and I, who have no right to refrain from working, whoever goes to war at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit, or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock. Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sake? For our sake, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows shall plow in hope, and he who thrashes in hope should be partakers of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? Others are partakers of this right over you. Are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endured all things, thus we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple? And those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Hallelujah. But I have used none of these things, nor have I written these things, that it should be done so to me. For it would be better for me to die than that anyone should make my boasting void. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will I have been entrusted with a stewardship, what is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. And I do this without charge. I don't for money to keep this show on. God has blessed me with a job that I use to keep this show on. God has blessed me with a pension that I can survive in my life. God has blessed me that I don't have to solicit to say, well, I need to keep the show on, so I need you to send me the $99 that I have to pay a month to do this show. But God has said, you will do it because it's your heart. And I've called you for such a time as this, that we have got to get my word out. That is my assignment. And all I can say is, God is good. And this is a word serving for a crown. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjugation, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Whew, what a word this morning. Paul, I was in my business. But I tell you this, the word of God is important, and we should read it. We should ingest it. We should know it. We should understand it, because God is speaking through us through his word. So let's go to some life lessons this morning. And again, thank you, Dr. Stanley, for this magnificent Bible. Thank you for this meditation word. And it says this in life lessons in 1 Corinthians 7:5. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. Sexual expression is a key and vital part of every Christian marriage. Believing couples should abstain from it only by mutual consent for a limited time and for a specific prayer need. And I'm going to go there. Wives, don't be holding sex as a weapon against your husband. And husbands, don't be cheating on your wives that they don't trust you. You know, you are one with each other. Treat each other as that. Too much cheating going on in this world. Too many divorces and children suffering from it. If you can work it out, work it out. Because marriage comes from God. 1 Corinthians 7:11, if she does the part, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. Paul follows the lead of the Old Testament and of Jesus on the topic of divorce. His teaching on grace does not mean that spouses can divorce at will. It means that God can give them the strength to persevere. 1 Corinthians 7:19, keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Rituals help us only insofar as they move us toward God. In and of themselves, they have no intrinsic value. God values devotion, devoted obedience, far more than adherence to religious rituals. 1 Samuel 15:22, and we all know. What is it? Sacrifice. Obedience is what God requires of us. We got to be obedient. If God says don't, don't. If God says do, do. We do what God says do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Saul learned that valuable lesson because he lost his kingship, because he was disobedient. First King lost it because of disobedience. We don't want to be disobedient to God. 1 Corinthians 7:20. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. I serve God if only I had a better job, a better home, a better spouse, a better position. Ever hear anything like this? Paul insists that we can serve God wherever, whenever we are, and wherever we are. First call. Wow. I'm going to read that again. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. I'd serve God if only I had a better job, a better home, a better spouse, a better position. Ever hear anything like this? Ever we are when he first called. 13 years old. And I got all happy, cried like a baby, felt this anointing, changed colors, glowed, everything. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit and went home preaching to my parents. And they looked at me like I had lost my 13-year-old mind. Even back then, trying to preach. Remembered 16 years old. Having had an encounter at camp and was having a revelation encounter at camp, where revelations have been preached to us and taught to us. And I came back, and the only thing that was being taught was about money and paying your conference claim and, you know, this milksop of a word that didn't get one soul saved. And I, with my little bold 16-year-old self, went to the presiding elder and politely told him that his message was not a good message and that he needs to be preaching revelations because the folks in the church need to be saved, set free, and filled with the Holy Spirit because Jesus is coming back, and we was not ready. And that did not go over well. Let's just put it that way. My godmother had to just kind of put a little muzzle on my little 16-year-old mouth. And so I just knew that I was going to grow up. I was going to be a Salvation Army officer. I was going to preach the gospel. I had my life planned out. But God had something different. God had a husband and children and 32 years. 2 years, he called us, and we didn't hear. We didn't listen. God had a plan for my life and a plan for my husband's life, but we didn't listen. Instead, we allowed the enemy to be that stumbling block that knocked us off our square. And every day I have regret that I left the church for a long time. And it was a mistake. But I thank God that he didn't give up on us, that he didn't give up on me. You know, my mother told me all along, because I just knew I had had an encounter with a prophet that had said I would have a ministry, that said you will have a ministry, thinking it was my husband that would have a ministry. I missed the whole you will have a ministry. And my mom told me one day, she said, it was always you. You just didn't want to see it. So I tell you, don't let anybody knock you off your square because you are a woman. I know there are many, 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 I listen to them even, that don't believe women should be pastors, that we can be teachers and we can give messages, but we shouldn't be pastors. Maybe pastor of your little ministry, but not a senior pastor over men. But I always have this question in my mind. Who made you God that you can determine who God calls to leadership? And that is where I come from. Who made you God? Because there's only one God, and he's in charge of everything. So who made you God that you can tell a woman who God called to start and to pastor and to increase membership in the church body that's being saved, set free, and filled with the Holy Spirit? A woman who preaches the word of God. My senior pastor happens to be a woman. She's phenomenal. So I ask again to those pastors out there, male, who have made it in their mind and their determination that a woman cannot be a senior pastor. Who made you God? Who made you God? And I'm not talking to theologians, you know, doctorate this, and I got that degree and all these degrees. Did you have your encounter with, did you have your encounter with God? Did you glow? Did you feel his presence, that you can tell anyone who God calls? I'm sure that Peter, James, and John didn't think that Paul had a right to minister, had a right to be an apostle, when he had been an abuser of the way. But Paul had that encounter. Paul is one that wrote a whole lot of this stuff that pastors use to keep women out of pulpit. But if you read a little closer, he'll tell you, this is what I think, not what God says. So we need to, again, study a little harder to show ourselves approved and to trust in God. There's only one. And allow God to lead us where we need to go. Man is fallible, but God is omnipotent. And God knows everything because he wrote the book. He is the author and the finisher of everything. And as Paul said, again, in 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Come on now. We can be so knowledgeable that we forget how to be lovers of each other and of God. You know, at the church, and I'm sure my church and my pastor is not the only one that has said folks can be so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. We want to be earthly good. We want souls to be saved so they can get there, so we can get there with God, so we can be in the presence of the Lord. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. God wants us to keep learning about him and his ways, not merely to add to our storehouse of knowledge, but to better serve him and his people. Knowledge plus love equals a powerful team. I want to be on that team because I want to love my brothers and sisters because God loved me first. Hallelujah. We don't know anybody's story, but I tell you, mine is epic. And I thank God that he has brought me through so much in my life, and I am grateful. And we should be grateful to God for everything. And when he calls you out of darkness, you got to walk into his marvelous light. Oh, I'm filled up. 1 Corinthians 8:6, there is one God, the Father. Whew, hallelujah. Of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it says, Paul often speaks of the Father, the Son, in equal but complementary ways. We serve one God through one Lord by one Spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 8:11, shall the weak teaches us that love never insists on its own private convictions if the exercise of those convictions damages a fellow believer. Love always desires the best for those it loves, even if that means self-denial. Whew, what a word this morning. All I can say is thank you, God, for all of you joining me today as we have New Testament Friday. We will be in the Old Testament on Sunday. The show will probably be a little bit longer. We will probably be about an hour and close to an hour and a half on Sunday because Ecclesiastes is a little bit longer, and we will still have our Psalm and Proverbs and some life examples for Sunday. So please join me. We got a great word in Old Testament Sunday for this week coming up. And again, before we get out of here, as always, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And Sister Carolyn is all of them in our business again. And this is it. Good morning. Don't ever let fear keep you from your destiny. Come on now. It may not be easy, but God will be right there to meet you all along the way. Have a fearless Friday because there is what? Only one God. That's it. Only one. There is one God, the Father, of whom are all things. And we for him, one Lord Jesus, through whom are all things and through whom we live. So have a fearless Friday, family. And if you can stay a minute, our prayer for today on this 26th day of August. Page Road, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. Proverbs 15 and 22, NASB, only one. Oh, holy one. I say a holy one, only one. In you is an abundance of wisdom. I will not be fooled into thinking that I can or should figure everything out on my own. Why put that kind of, Lord, as I look for wise input in my decisions, I ask that there would be a thread of commonality that speaks truth to my situation. I'm not looking for easy answers or paths. I'm looking for the best options. I know that as I go to trusted counselors, friends, and mentors, I will find the refinement that my plans need. Thank you for your consistent grace. When I am not sure who to turn to for help, would you place wise people in my path? I know that valuable advice comes from all kinds of sources. I will keep an open mind as I consult with others, trusting that you will not let me be led astray. And the question for today is, what plans have you been devising on your own that could benefit from outside perspective? Keep trusting God, family, and let God lead you, guide you. But there is only one God. So much for listening in. Have a blessed and wonderful day on this fearless Friday. Keep trusting God and watch him work in your life. I got to go to work. So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. Have a fearless Friday. And keep God first in everything that you do. And watch him work in your life. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap.